I think you're all familiar with that psalm. You've probably heard it as a child, and perhaps you've heard it during ceremonies. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what I think the writer was getting at when he wrote it. But before we go into looking at the text this morning, I want to ask you a question. Has life ever weighed heavy on you? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever felt in a time in your life when it seemed like the weight of the entire world has fallen upon your shoulders? And you wonder, is this ever going to end? Is help on the way? Is this ever going to leave me, this weight that I'm feeling in my life? Now, I'm sure if you think back, you can remember a time or two or maybe more in your life where it was almost suffocating. And frankly, the more you looked at it, it seemed as if there was no way out. That rather than getting better, it seemed like each and every day got worse. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that, but I can tell you I have. And I believe this morning's text helped speak to such a condition as what I just described and what you may have experienced or may be experiencing in your own lives today. And what this text says to me, and has always said to me, reading it going back so many years, is that there's hope in the midst of our struggles. That there's rest and peace to be discovered, even though it seems like rest and peace is fleeting from us. The theme in our text this morning describes God as a shepherd, and those who believe in God are sheep. But I must confess that for many years, way back when, I always was told that sheep were dumb. And I wondered in my mind, a rational mind, why would God, the Bible, Jesus, David, constantly refer to believers in Christ as sheep if sheep are dumb? Did it mean that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ that you lack intelligence? Does it mean that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ you are naive and can be led by the nose and be influenced so easily? I don't know. I traveled all throughout the Middle East. I've been to Syria. I've been to Jordan. I've been to Egypt. I've been to Israel many times. I've seen shepherds and flocks of sheep hundreds of times in my travels. And I never, in studying sheep, noticed a high level of intelligence. I was looking, unlike a dog or a cat, or those mischievous squirrels that run around my yard and can figure anything out. I believe they're little geniuses in those fur costumes. I've yet to find a bird feeder that they can't get into. I bought bird feeders where the pet store said there's no way they could breach this. And they will slide down a dome and somehow get under there. And so I was trying to compare sheep with squirrels and dogs, but I couldn't get an answer. But there were certain behaviors and things that I picked up that I would soon come to realize why Jesus would refer to followers of his as sheep. What did I discover? They instinctively knew that the shepherd would meet every need that they had. I have followed flocks of sheep in the Middle East. I've watched it. I've video recorded it. I studied it. I photographed it. They trust the shepherd. There's no doubt about that. And I noticed that the shepherds that I saw had a very keen interest in the well-being of the sheep that they were tending. That there was a value attached to flocks of sheep. And so they cared for them. in a very real way. And I also saw where shepherds would find resting places and good eating locations where there were greenery and grass was plentiful. So they would lead them to pastures where their sheep could be fed. And I believe, friends, in the same way Jesus knows when we grow weary and tired. Because a shepherd, when the sheep start getting tired, a shepherd can't keep moving that flock endlessly. He'll know when it's time to rest that flock and sit them down so that they could regenerate themselves. He knows when they need rest. And I want to tell you that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows when we need rest. I believe that He knows that there are times when we need fresh water and we need refreshment and renewal, just like the shepherds in the Middle East that I witnessed in my travels there. So, George, there was a slide one. I can't see it. Maybe you could see it. Is there a shepherd up there with a bunch of sheep? Yeah, so the shepherd never leaves the sheep, you know. I mean, the shepherd cares for the sheep. David said that he would stay up all night in case bears and lions would come and attack the sheep, because that's what shepherds do. And George, if you could show slide two, Jesus knows figuratively that at times we need to just rest and get quiet, that we need to be in a quiet place where we could get alone and just rest our souls. How many here find it hard to find a quiet place in your life? Is your life too busy? Does it ever feel like your life is out of control and crazy? None of you guys, right? You're on an endless vacation. Life could get very hectic. And it seems like we're, especially in the Northeast, it seems like we're always on the move. I don't think Sunrise Highway is a street. It's actually a racetrack now. Everybody seems to be rushing somewhere. And I don't know where they're going. And so Jesus knows there's a time when we need to just stop and be quiet, and He knows how to deliver that. You know, recently I went into a deli. Now, I don't know if I have that kind of face or He knew I was a pastor, but I said to this deli owner, he was making me I know I don't have to get too descriptive, but he was making me a pepper and egg sandwich on a Kaiser roll. I want to make you hungry, because I want you to come to fellowship hour. And it was good. But I engaged him. I said, you know, a friend of mine owned a deli in Sayville. And Mark, you remember Ed's deli? What a great guy. And I said, he worked some crazy hours. And the deli owner said to me, sir, do you realize that I'm here at 3 o'clock in the morning preparing for breakfast? And then after breakfast, I have to break down and prepare for lunch. And then after lunch, I got to break down and prepare for the late crowd that comes in. And he says, couple that with all that stress. I felt like it was a therapy session. He said, couple that now with the overhead, the rent's going up, and the insurance, and I hire people that don't show up for work, and I got to do double the work, and the cost of meat and supplies are constantly rising. And he says, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There are times when I want to just quit, put a lock on the door, and walk away. And I went, wow. See, he was almost at a breaking point. And I said to him, you know, I'm a pastor, and all I can really say to you, my friend, is I'm going to pray that you find peace in the midst of this craziness that you're in. He was stressed out to the limit, and he looked like he was shorthanded with staff, and that may have provoked that. Now, you may not run a deli on Long Island like he does, but have you ever found yourself saying, I had enough? Have you ever said that? I've had enough. I've had all that I could take. I'm at a breaking point right now. I don't think I could take one more circumstance that's going to break into my life. And I don't think I'm going to be able to withstand the weight that I'm carrying on my shoulders right now. George, if you could show slide 3, some of you may remember this fight. How many are fight fans? My wife doesn't even think I'm a Christian because I love UFC and boxing, and she says to me, you shouldn't even be a pastor. It's violent. I didn't listen to her. And she'll come in and she'll see people all bloodied up in the octagon and she'll say, shut that thing off. It's evil. I just like it. Well, I always liked Roberto Duran. He was a tough kid, came from a poor neighborhood. He was fighting Sugar Ray Leonard. And I want to tell you something, Sugar Ray Leonard, I put him maybe in a category of Muhammad Ali. Nobody could dance and punch and move around like he did. And if you remember this fight, he made Duran look foolish in that ring. He was floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee, and Duran couldn't hit him. And if you remember, a world champion, Roberto Duran, who had fists like bricks, he stops in the middle of the fight and he says, no mas, no more. And he went through the ropes and he quit. And he left Sugar Ray Leonard standing there saying, what does this all mean? Am I the champ or... But he couldn't take it anymore. And he said, no mas. You see, friends, life can be like that sometimes. Life can suck everything out of us. All of the energy, all of the juices, all of the strength that we have. It could appear at times when our calendar, you can't even fit anything else in the box on your calendar schedule. People are telling me on their jobs, their jobs are asking them to do more with less. Less manpower, less this, less that. But they want you to have the same output or more. And they're under that kind of stress. Family pressures are off the charts with raising kids and making ends meet and trying to level out your life and yet keep a family. And people are weary and people are stressed. And more I hear people saying, no mas, no more. I can't take one more thing. Could you show slide 4, George? You see, the shepherd knows when to pull us aside to a quiet place. Our society has gotten so noisy. I don't know about you, but I drive my wife crazy when it's too quiet. I start doing things. The quietness sometimes is deafening because we're so used to noise in our lives and activity. And sometimes my wife wants to sit down, just have a conversation with me, and I'm rearranging everything on the table. And she'll say, stop. And I'll go, what? Do you realize what you're doing? I'm doing nothing. You moved that salt shaker around 6 times. Just chill out and relax. And so Jesus knows that we become antsy and uncomfortable because we're used to being on that treadmill going 120 miles an hour. And I want to tell you, for those of you who are retired, there are people who are retired who tell me they're working harder and more than when they want to go back to work because they're involved in so many activities. But you see, sheep are smart enough to know that when the shepherd says, lie down, get into this quiet place, and relax, sheep will do as the shepherd instructs them to do. One time I was in the Kidron Valley. I was studying at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and I was there for a long time. And so there were days that they would give us, they were free days, and I would just walk around Jerusalem. And so I was by myself. I said, you know, I'm going down to that Kidron Valley. And I walked into the valley and I bumped into not a shepherd, but a shepherdess. How many know there are women shepherds in the Middle East? And there she was. And while she overlooked her sheep grazing, the one thing I noticed that stuck with me ever since, and George, if you could show the next slide, she was sitting there caressing a small sheep, in between a lamb and a sheep, and she was caressing it like we would caress our dogs here in America, and petting its head. And the sheep's face looked like it doesn't get anything better than this. I'm not kidding you. The sheep had a smile on its face. And she was just loving on this sheep. And I want to tell you, that sheep knew that that shepherdess cared for it. And I would imagine that particular sheep on that given day, perhaps it was frightened by something, perhaps it was sick, weak, or wounded, and needed tender, loving care. Perhaps it was mistreated by the other sheep and left out. She saw that and she went and scooped it up and let it know that it was loved. But you know what I thought to myself? She was given that one sheep special attention, and it didn't faze the other sheep. You ever see rivalry between siblings, that if you do something for one, the others get jealous? Well, the other sheep, they couldn't care less that she was caressing that one. Do you know why? They knew that when the time came, if they needed that tender care, they would get it as well. And so the bottom line is, when we are doing well, the shepherd lets us wander around and graze. But if we're not, and we're weary, and we're tired, and we're ready to say, no mas, no more, I quit, they know that the shepherd would come in and scoop that sheep up and love it back to health again. You know, all throughout my ministry of 30 years now, I've witnessed weary sheep. I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you think this robe has any power, if you think my seminary degree somehow erases this, I at times have been weary myself, where I was ready to say, no mas, I'm done. We've all been there if we're honest. We've all done that, and we probably all have the t-shirt. I've seen exhausted sheep in my ministry. I've witnessed sheep who have undergone trials that are almost inhuman to handle. I've noticed worn out, tired, and weary sheep for so many reasons. I've seen sheep in the body of Christ who not only carry their load, but they carry the load of others. And they're worn down. And they're tired. There are times, my friends, when you just feel like you can't keep on keeping on. Like my friend who runs the deli, where he said, I just want to put a lock on the door and walk away and quit. Or Roberto Duran, who said, no mas, no more, I quit this fight, I'm going through those ropes, I'm hanging up my gloves, I'm done. I got pushed just too far. Well, I want to tell you this morning, and I want to encourage you, that the Good Shepherd knows when you have reached that point, when I have reached that point. The Good Shepherd knows when we're teetering on the edge of collapse and giving up. He knows. And He'll always answer us if we're listening and watching. He knows when we need something, and I want to assure you, He knows what we need better than we ever could. And so going back to that image of that young shepherdess holding that sheep in her arms, human beings, we have been created for a relationship and touch. I think I've shared this with you, that if I'm on the computer or something and Myung Chao comes up behind me and grabs me, if I had a tail, it does this. And I go, oh boy, I like that. We like to be touched. We like to be in relationship. We were built for that. We were created to be in relationship. Now, George, if you could show slide number 6. I think one of the most beautiful images is watching a new mother caress a newborn child, and how she'll stare at that child and dote on that child and just be in marvel over the fact that she has been given this gift that she carried. Or even if a child is adopted, I don't differentiate between the two. Mothers, fathers who care about adopted children, that's still their children. And so you'll just see a mom. Yesterday, my daughter went on FaceTime, and my little grandson, who's 6 years old, Mikey, is really sick. His nose was running, his eyes were red. And as my daughter's talking to me, she had him in her arms. And I said, he really feels good that he's in his mama's arms. It's that instinct of wanting to be touched and caressed and held and cared for. And that doesn't end as we get older. My nephew, my niece is here this morning. When my mother was in a Connecticut Methodist care facility, she had dementia. Her mind was deteriorating rather quickly. And many times she would sit in a chair and just stare at a wall for hours. But the minute a family member walked in, she would just brighten up. And if you held her hand, you could just see joy coming over her face. Because we were meant for relationship and to be touched. And it just required that little holding of a hand that set off a light between the behind the eyes where it looked like the lights had gone out. And so, George, if you could show slide number 7. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And I want to stop there because that word in the Hebrew, restore, means refreshed. Refreshed. And as I was writing this sermon, I was thinking, when did I ever feel really refreshed? When I was a father of young children, we invested in an above-the-ground swimming pool. And I want to tell you, it was a major investment. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. We took it on credit, and I think it took 20 years to pay off that pool. But I was mowing the lawn, and it was 100 degrees outside, and I was edging the sidewalk, and I trimmed. And finally, it's like a slow-motion commercial. I looked at that pool, I looked at that hot lawnmower, I took my wallet out of my pocket, my sneakers and socks, and I vaulted over the wall of that pool and jumped in with my clothes on. And I went, oh, wow, it doesn't get any better than this. My temperature must have dropped 20 degrees. I said, it's so refreshing. And I remember just sitting in that pool and just praying that Myung-chul would not come out, knowing that I was fully dressed in that pool. It's quite amazing. Refreshed. Friends, refreshed. If you could show the next slide, George, I'm not going to read that whole scripture that's up there before you, but that Isaiah passage is one of my favorites. And basically what Isaiah the prophet was saying from God to him, through him, to God's people was, there's going to be days when you're tired and weary, but God is never tired and weary. God never goes on a vacation. God never is off duty. God is never asleep. God is there. And when we are tired and weary, it says that we will renew our strength, will soar on wings like an eagle, will run and not grow weary, and will walk and not be faint. And then, if you could show the next slide, George, in Matthew's gospel, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who I'm preaching about this morning, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you know what a yoke is? Not an egg yolk. It's a thing it's this. And they used to put these around oxen and beasts of the land to pull wagons and carts. And those yokes could be heavy. And that's why you see many times beasts walking like this, because the weight on their shoulders and their necks. And Jesus said, "My yoke is light. You could lift up your head again. I'll take that pressure that you're feeling off of your shoulders." Don't quit. Don't say no mas. Don't put a lock on the door and walk away. I've heard your cries. Jesus will do these things for us, and sometimes in the most surprising ways. And so I asked you a question earlier. Are sheep dumb? I don't have an answer for that as far as intelligence goes, but I'll tell you what I did notice. They're not dumb. Goats are very smart, but goats are stubborn. And goats are always off doing their own thing. If the sheep are eating down there, the goats are on the top of the hillside. They don't look for the shepherd. They don't behave. And they do whatever they want to do. But I noticed that the sheep were gentle and they were humble. Now check this out. This is a word we don't like in our society today. Sheep are submissive to the shepherd. Always looking up. They'll eat, they'll look up. The shepherd moves, they move. They're always watching the shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd cares for them. And so, if you show the next slide, George, I ask you this last question. Where do you place your trust when it comes to life? Dr. Oz, all those other doctors on TV, I'm not putting them down, but there's a greater physician than them, I can tell you that. His name is Jesus. Where do you put your trust? Before you lock the door, before you walk away, before you say no mas and quit in the middle of the fight, give the good shepherd a chance and get refreshed, because he can do it if we keep our eyes on him. And so, Father, I just know that in this congregation this morning, there are people here that are stressed out by life. There are people in this congregation this morning that are stressed out by their jobs. They're stressed out by loved ones who are sick. They're stressed out by the pressures of raising families. They're stressed out through financial difficulties. There are people here this morning, Lord, that have a lot of weight on their shoulders. And they may even be ready to say, no mas, I quit. And I would just pray, Lord Jesus, speak to them this morning the truth. And the truth is that you could renew and refresh us and bring us to a quieter place. That there is hope in the midst of our hopelessness. That there is joy in the midst of us feeling down. There is strength when we feel weak and we're ready to give up on life. Speak to us anew today, Lord, as we submit to you as the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.